Don't know how many are here tonight, but it does look like we have a good crowd for Monday evening, especially with the weather being like it has been today. Appreciate so much the attendance of each and every one who are here, those who are members of the Bethel congregation, but most especially for those of you who are here as visitors tonight. Perhaps you are visiting with someone here who invited you to come, maybe someone who is your friend or a family member, or maybe you are someone who is a member of another congregation and you just took it upon yourself tonight to come and be a part of this effort. I want to thank you for doing that. I know the church here appreciates so much all of those who are visiting tonight. Appreciate Brother Jimmy and the good job that he did tonight in leading us in singing. He's a great song leader. Many good things that we could say about Jimmy. He's just a preacher that I enjoy listening to. And he's always so calm and always so smooth when he gets up and speaks. And I'll tell you something else he is, and I don't like this about him, but he is skinny. I don't know how Jimmy stays so skinny with the cooks that you have here at this congregation. Because we've had some wonderful meals together yesterday as well as tonight. And I appreciate so much all of you ladies and perhaps some men who helped participate in making that food this evening. It's good to see my good friend Roger Jackson here tonight and his lovely wife Judy. I appreciate them and have known Roger for many years. And it's always good when I see Roger in the audience or I run into him somewhere. I appreciate him. Brother Roger came out with a book not too long ago, about a year ago or so. I think it was about a year ago, but it's an excellent book on alcoholism. It's written from a biblical perspective. He didn't ask me to say this tonight. I'm just sharing it with you, but I'm sure that if you would like to have a copy of that, he can get you one. I don't know that he's got any here tonight, but Brother Roger wrote a book on alcoholism, and it's just a great book. If you know somebody who's struggling with that, or if perhaps you're struggling with it yourself, then talk with Brother Roger, and he can tell you a little bit more about that book. Well, tonight our sermon is entitled Putting the Pieces Together. And I've been asking the men upstairs to change the slides for me. I typically do that home. But tonight I'm going to do it myself because I've got a lot more slides involved. So I hope this works out as well as I'm intending as far as the slides changing. We shall see. But we're going to study tonight putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And I want to begin tonight in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and following, I want to read these passages as we get into our lesson this evening. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in the chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And of course, the next verse shows us that when he came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. Friends, I want to talk to you tonight about a puzzle. Putting a puzzle together. I'm confident that you, like me, perhaps in your early childhood years, spent some time putting puzzles together. Maybe you enjoy putting puzzles together even to this day. I've gone into the homes of some individuals, and there on a table, maybe to the side of the room, would be some jigsaw puzzle that they had been working on for some time. And they love to pass the time sometimes working on that puzzle. Webster's Dictionary defines the word puzzle as something such as a game, a toy, or problem that requires ingenuity and often persistence in solving or assembling. In our scripture reading tonight, we find a man who is trying to put a puzzle together, so to speak. But the puzzle that we're talking about tonight is not a puzzle that you would pick up at the toy store. This is not a puzzle that you would find in a hobby shop. The puzzle that this man was trying to put together was one that was of eternal significance. You see, he was trying to put together a puzzle regarding the meaning of a prophecy concerning the Messiah that Isaiah had prophesied about. You know, sometimes when you're putting a puzzle together, you need a little bit of help, don't you? Maybe a child is working on a puzzle and they may say to their parent or to their grandparent, Can you help me find the piece of the puzzle that goes here? I've looked and looked and I'm not finding the piece. And so a parent or grandparent may come over and assist the child that is struggling. You see, that's where Philip comes in. Because the eunuch is looking at the puzzle. The eunuch is struggling to put the puzzle of eternal salvation all together. And then Philip comes. Philip is able to help him to put the pieces of the puzzle in their proper place. And as a result, he not only gained some information about the Savior of the world, but he was also able to respond to the invitation of the God of heaven and earth. Friends, tonight I want us to spend some time putting a puzzle together. A puzzle that is of eternal consequence. I want us to spend some time putting some passages together regarding eternal salvation. And I want us to take the box, if you will. I want us to take the Bible and pour out the scriptures on the table. And then one by one begin to look at the puzzle pieces and to see where they fit in the big picture of things. I want us to spend some time looking at the puzzle. You know, one mistake that children and even adults sometimes make regarding puzzles is by thinking after they have one, maybe two or three pieces of the puzzle together that they already know what the end result is supposed to be. They get it in their mind. Now, this is how it's supposed to be. But as they continue on in the process, maybe someone comes along and assists them, they see that, you know, I didn't have the right idea to start with. This is something different than what I had perceived originally. You know, the same is true as we begin putting this puzzle together tonight. It is important for us to remember that until we have all of the pieces of the puzzle put together in their proper place, we may not have a correct understanding of the whole concerning the matter of eternal salvation. You know, there's a passage of Scripture found in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 119, verse 160. And the Bible there says, watch it, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. You know, sometimes when you're working on a puzzle, it may seem that it's impossible to solve the puzzle. Maybe a child is working on a puzzle, and it's a very large jigsaw puzzle, and they get stuck because the puzzle is way too hard for them to comprehend because of their age. However, concerning the puzzle that we're talking about tonight, concerning the puzzle that the eunuch was seeking to put together, it wasn't a puzzle that was beyond his comprehension. It wasn't a puzzle that was beyond his ability to solve and understand. He just needed a little bit of help in order to put all of the pieces together regarding eternal salvation. You see, salvation is understandable by those who are accountable. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 said, be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Can we understand the Bible? Can we understand God's teaching concerning the plan of salvation, how a man is justified? And the answer would be, yes, we can understand. You know, our Lord in John chapter 8 and verse 32 said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Friends, we need to know the truth about salvation tonight. For Jesus said it was only the truth that would set us free. And so we need to know what the Bible teaches concerning how one is saved from their sins. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. But you know, if we were to take a poll of the religious community tonight, if we were to ask the question, how is it that one is saved, perhaps we would get different answers. Maybe we would get answers that differ from one to another, even may seem contradictory one from another. You ask someone, what is it that saves a man? Some might say, well, we're saved by grace. They may even offer a scripture and say, see, here's the verse. It says, by grace are you saved. You ask someone else the same question. They may say, well, we're saved by faith. And they may offer you a verse. You see, then, how that by faith a man is justified? You ask someone else and they may say, well, we're saved by Christ's blood. Everybody knows that. Or someone else may say, well, we're saved by good works. And as we've already pointed out, many will even take a piece of the puzzle and say, see, here it is, here's the passage, here is the verse. But friends, we need to understand, yes, we need to use the Scripture, no doubt about it. But we must use the whole of God's Word regarding the salvation puzzle that we're talking about tonight. We don't need to make some assumptions by simply taking one piece of the puzzle and assuming that's all there is to it, because here it is in this one verse. The entirety of God's Word is truth. And so tonight we want to put these pieces of the puzzle together regarding our eternal salvation. And I want to ask us to approach this very same subject with the sincerity and with the determination that the Ethiopian eunuch approached this subject. He was diligently searching the Scriptures so that he could have a better understanding, a better picture regarding salvation, regarding the Messiah, the Son of God. Here are those pieces of the puzzle that we're talking about tonight. Here are those pieces of the puzzle, and our goal this evening is to complete the puzzle regarding salvation. That is important that we remember that we need to have all of these pieces put together properly, correctly, in order to solve the great question of the hour. And you know, sometimes when putting together a puzzle, we might look at the box top. We might look at the picture on the top of the box, and we see what the completed puzzle is to look like. And that's what I want you to see right now before we ever get into the lesson. I want you to see all the different pieces of this puzzle that we're talking about tonight. You see, the Bible teaches that we're saved. Number one, I want you to see that the Bible teaches that we're saved by the grace of God. You know, sometimes there are those who would accuse us of not believing that. Oh, you don't believe we're saved in the grace of God. Listen, if that's what someone believes, they are greatly mistaken. Because the Bible teaches, yes, we are saved by the grace of God. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, though, says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Yes, we're saved by grace. But the Bible also says that grace has appeared unto all men. But folks, not all men are saved. And then in Acts the 15th chapter in verse 11, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." What are we saved by, my friends? Is there any doubt tonight as we have begun this sermon this evening that grace does not play a significant role in the salvation of mankind? We are saved by the grace of God. But then I want you to see something else we're saved by tonight. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "For as so much as you know you weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received from the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot." What are we saved by, friends? We're saved by the blood of Christ. And then here we read in this passage, "Neither by the blood of both goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more by the blood of Jesus Christ?" And then in this passage, we read in Matthew 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." What are we saved by? We're saved by the grace of God. But we have also seen tonight that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, this is a piece of that puzzle that we need to understand tonight. But yet it is not the whole of the puzzle. Because the Bible also teaches we are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me and draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God." For one to be saved, one must be taught. One must be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then in Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, Acts 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all of thy house shall be saved?" Of course, that's in the context there of the conversion of Cornelius. And he had to hear words. He had to hear about the gospel of Christ so that he could be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, Paul talks about how he's declared unto us the gospel. He says, what I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, watch it, by which also are you saved. What are we saved by? We're saved by the grace of God. We're saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved by the gospel of Christ. You see, that, my friends, is a piece of the puzzle. But next tonight, I want you to see something else that we're saved by. We're saved by faith. We're saved by faith in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then up at the top of the screen, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. We're justified by what? We're justified by faith. John chapter 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. You see, we're saved by faith. Acts 16, verse 31. This individual wanted to be saved. And the Bible says, and they said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. What have we seen thus far tonight? We've seen that we are saved by grace. We have seen that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have seen that we're saved by faith in Christ, by the gospel of Christ. You see, all of these are part of this puzzle that we're putting together tonight. And sometimes people will focus just on one piece of the puzzle and they forget about all of the other pieces that are involved. We're also saved by works of obedience. I want you to notice this passage with me. James chapter 2, verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by what? Faith only. Someone says, I thought we were saved by faith. We are. But we're not saved by faith only. Because he goes on to point out in that very same chapter that the devils believe, but they tremble. Why do they tremble? Because they're lost. But yet we know that one must do good works, the works of God. Here's another passage to consider. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed in my presence, not as much as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, we read this concerning Jesus. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation, watch it, unto all them that obey him. There are some people out there today who say that obedience has nothing to do with it. You don't have to be obedient to God. You don't have to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And what they do is they focus on one little piece of the puzzle and they say, see, here it is. And they ignore the whole, the entirety of what the Bible teaches concerning this subject. And so here we have a piece of the puzzle. Works of obedience. And then there is another piece of the puzzle. The puzzle of salvation. And it is repentance. Repentance is just basically a change of heart that leads me to a change of action. And the Bible teaches that we must repent if we want to be saved. Luke 24 and verse 47, we see that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And then this passage at the top of the screen there, Jesus says, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. What must one do to be saved? Repentance is a part of the process. Does that nullify, does that minimize any of the other things that we've talked about tonight? Does it minimize the blood of Christ, the grace of God? Does it minimize the mercy of God? Absolutely not. Does it minimize faith? No. But repentance is a part of the puzzle. One must repent in order to be saved. Confession is a part of that puzzle. The Bible teaches in Philippians 2 and verse 11 that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and to the Father. And then in Romans 10 and verse 10, for with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then another passage of Scripture, Matthew 10 verse 32 through 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven, and whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then this passage in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. What is a part of this puzzle that we're putting together tonight? It is confession. Confession of Jesus Christ. We must make sure that this piece is also in the puzzle that we're putting together regarding eternal salvation. And that brings us to this piece. Baptism. Is baptism a part of this puzzle? Well, again, if you were to ask some religious people today, they would say, absolutely not. They would say, we're saved by grace. Or they might say, we're saved by faith. But a lot of times what they'll say is, well, we're saved by faith only. Or we're saved by grace only. And of course, seemingly, they don't understand that if you're saved by something only, then that eliminates everything else. So if you're saved by grace only, then that eliminates the blood of Christ. Or if you're saved by the blood of Christ only, well, then that eliminates faith. You see, there's not anything that we're saved only by. There are a number of pieces in this puzzle that we're putting together tonight. And again, sometimes people will focus just on one piece. And they'll have a verse and they'll say, see, here it is in the Bible. It's like the little boy who holds up a piece of the puzzle and says, see, I know what this is going to be. I've got this piece right here. And until he puts the rest of the puzzle together, he may not have a clue of what he has. Or what he's putting together. But baptism is a part of this puzzle. We see here the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Who said that? Jesus Christ. And then over in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the very first gospel sermon ever preached, they wanted to know, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And then over in Acts 22 and verse 16, here's old Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, blinded on the road as he was making his way on a journey. And he was blinded and he wanted to know, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, you need to go into the city and it will be told thee what thou must do. And so he went into the city and Ananias found him. And Ananias said unto him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so one must be baptized. Here we read from the book of Romans chapter 6, know ye not that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then this passage, I don't know how much plainer it can be made here. The Apostle Peter says, the like figure, and he was talking about the flood that came and destroyed the world and how that eight souls, he says, were saved by water. Notice what he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Baptism's not a bath. If you didn't know anything about it and you saw someone being baptized in Bible times, you might think, well, somebody's giving them a bath. But it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You want to have a good conscience before God? Here it is. Here's the answer of a good conscience before God. He says it's baptism. It is the answer of a good conscience before God. How? By the resurrection of Christ. Now, is Peter minimizing the resurrection of Christ? No. He's telling us how we come in contact with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's through baptism. You see, this is another piece of the puzzle. And it would be wrong for someone just to look at this verse and say, well, this is all the Bible teaches about this subject, so we just need to go out and just baptize people, because if we baptize them, then that's it. They're going to be saved. That would be wrong if we ignored the rest of what the Bible teaches. But also, it's wrong if we focus on one section of Scripture and we ignore the whole of what the Bible teaches on this given subject. Baptism is a part of the process. That's a part of the puzzle that we are putting together tonight. You see, all of these things that we have discussed this evening are involved in the salvation of one's soul. All of these items that we have mentioned tonight are noted in Scripture as playing a role in the salvation of mankind. You know, there are many today who would profess themselves to be Christians, profess themselves to be children of God, who will latch on to one piece of this puzzle and say, there it is, there's my verse, there's my section of Scripture, and I stand behind that, and that only. But until we take all of these pieces, until we put them together in their proper place, we will not have an understanding concerning the salvation of mankind. You see, we have put together a puzzle tonight. We have put together a puzzle by taking the Scriptures and placing Scripture upon Scripture and presenting the whole of what the Bible teaches concerning salvation. Remember that verse that we read earlier tonight from Psalm 119, verse 60? 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. God's plan of salvation. You know, in our Scripture reading tonight, the eunuch was troubled. He was troubled because he was trying to put together a puzzle of his eternal salvation. And so Philip came along, and Philip helped him out. He helped him to put the pieces of the puzzle together. The text says that Philip preached unto him Jesus. You see, that was a part of the puzzle that he needed help with. He was stuck on that. He was stuck on the Messiah. He needed to understand that. And so Philip helped him to put that piece together with the rest of the puzzle. And so they put that piece in its proper place. And because of that, the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" You see, that was the final piece of the puzzle that the eunuch needed to put in place. That was the final piece he needed in order to find peace of mind. The verse says, they both went down into the water, and he baptized him, and then the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Let me ask you something tonight. As we have been putting together the puzzle of salvation this evening, where are you in the process? Where are you in this process that we've been discussing? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all of your heart? You say, I do. Let me ask you, have you put the next piece of the puzzle in its proper place? Have you repented of the sin that is in your life? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, I know that you've been trying to live a good life to the best of your ability, but you know we all fail. We all sin from time to time. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as diligent as we may try to live as we should, we still have a sin problem in our life. And that's why Christ came. And that's why Jesus Christ died for you and died for me, so that we could make amends with God through His blood. Have you repented of the sin that is in your life? Have you confessed with your mouth what you believe about Jesus? Maybe you've been penitent. You're sorry for the things you've done, but you've never, ever, to this day, you've never said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, you can do that tonight before this group of people who are here. It's one of the easiest things you could ever do. It can be challenging at times, I know, when you get before the world and you stand up for Christ and you have to muster up the courage. But I'm telling you, this is a very easy thing to do tonight. To stand before this group of people and say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then let me ask you this. Having done that, don't you want to be baptized for the remission of your sins? You see, you've started putting the puzzle together, but until you get there, until you put that in its proper place, you haven't completed the puzzle. You need to be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. When you put together a puzzle that's been troubling you for some time, and you finally get all of the pieces in their proper place, oh, isn't there a great sense of reward that is felt? Oh, yes. And the same is true concerning salvation. You see, the eunuch went on his way. What? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. A sense of reward. A sense of peace of mind. Knowing that now all of these things had been put in their proper place. And my friends, you can leave this place tonight with that same sense and knowledge and understanding that all is well with your soul. You may have come tonight and been troubled because of sin that is in your life. Maybe you came tonight and had no intention of obeying the gospel or being restored back into the fellowship of God. But you ought to do it tonight because you've been thinking about spiritual things and you know that you need to make things right before it's eternally too late. Where are you in the process that we've been talking about tonight? Are you a man or a woman tonight who wants to be saved by the grace of God, who wants to be redeemed by the blood of Christ, who wants to be washed clean by the waters of baptism? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? We want to encourage you to do that, and we're going to sing this song to encourage you. Won't you let it be known by coming as together we stand and sing?